Ezekiel 24, the fall of Jerusalem. Chapter 24 marks the turning point in Ezekiel's prophecies to the exiles. It is his final message concerning the inevitable judgment of Jerusalem and the people of Judah in the land, given at the very time that this judgment was commencing. Now, after brief introductory details, the chapter consists of the parable of the boiling cauldron and then the account of the death of the prophet's wife, which provided the basis for a message to the people. And finally, there is a message from God for Ezekiel himself. The siege begins. This prophecy was received by Ezekiel and delivered to his fellow exiles in Babylon in the ninth year, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, just 2 years and 5 months after the prophecy found in chapter 20. The years of Jehoiachin's captivity, which Ezekiel uses to date his prophecies, correspond to the years of Zedekiah's reign. This was the very day that Nebuchadnezzar began the siege of Jerusalem, which subsequently was celebrated by the Jews as the fast of the 10th month. It's in Zechariah 8. Ezekiel was to write down the name of the day. Presumably this was so that when the news arrived in Babylon some months later about the commencement of the siege on that very day, he could point to the writing, remind the exiles of his message, and thus convince them of the divine origin of his prophecies. And that this day was the beginning of the execution of God's judgments is emphasized by saying that the king of Babylon set himself against Jerusalem this same day. The words translated set himself are literally laid himself upon, and would remind the Israelites of the way in which witnesses of a crime were required to lay, the same word, lay their hands upon the head of a blasphemer before he was stoned. The parable of the boiling cauldron. This parable is related in verses 3 to 5, although further details are added as the interpretation proceeds in verses 6 to 14. The parable concerns a cauldron filled with water and pieces of meat, which is placed upon a fire to boil until the pieces are well cooked. The message is so plain and so obviously related to Ezekiel's previous prophecies that the exiles to whom he spoke would have had little difficulty in grasping his message, although, in spite of its urgency, it seems that they paid but little heed. In the Hebrew, the word pot or cauldron, in the Revised Version, it carries the definite article. It was the cauldron to which the people of Jerusalem themselves had referred when they said, "This city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh." It's back in chapter 11. Jerusalem then was the cauldron, as the prophet here confirms in verse 6, where he adds the detail that the cauldron had scum in it. Now, there's a footnote here that in the Revised Version, it's rendered not scum, but rust. But that's unlikely, because it was a brass pot. So the cauldron had scum in it, which according to verses 12 to 13 represented that sinfulness of Israel discussed in chapters 22 and 23. The pieces of flesh in the cauldron represented the members, in the sense of 1 Corinthians 12, the members of the body politic of Israel, even every good piece and the choice bones were to be in the cauldron when it was placed on the fire, no doubt referring to the royal house, the priesthood, and others in authority. The fire, as we have before noted, represented the judgments of God upon Israel to be brought about by Nebuchadnezzar and his armies. In this parable, it has special reference to the siege of Jerusalem, which, as we have seen, began on the day that the parable was uttered. And this invasion and siege would be final. There would be no lot, verse 6, at the end of this conquest, which would decide who would go into captivity and who would stay behind, but the flesh would be taken out of the pot to be consumed by God's judgments. And the Israelitish blood shed by the wicked in that nation cried out like Abel's for vengeance. And these were indeed the days of vengeance, that all things which were written concerning the Babylonian captivity might be fulfilled. The people having been taken out of the city, God had not finished with Jerusalem, the city of blood. The cauldron was to be set empty upon the coals so that the brass might burn and the filthiness and the scum be destroyed. And this was Ezekiel's message to the exiles, as Nebuchadnezzar's army was engaged in the very act of building fortifications for the long siege of Jerusalem. The siege had commenced. The outcome was certain. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doing shall they judge thee, saith the Lord God. There is, even in this dramatic message of judgment upon this reprobate nation, a reassuring note of the certainty of the fulfillment of God's promises. God's repeated attempts at purging the filthy cauldron, for example, the reforms by Hezekiah and Josiah, having come to nothing, thou shalt not be purged from thy filthiness any more till I have caused my fury to rest upon thee. By using the word till, we are given just a glimpse of the final purging, which is considered in detail in chapter 36, as a result of which Israel will be reconciled to God. Regarding this word, till I have caused my fury to rest upon thee, it's a footnote, compare, I will overturn it until, in Ezekiel 21, and in Luke 21, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until, and in Acts 3, whom the heaven must receive until, all of them speak of the end of the downtrodden of Israel and her time of restoration under her Messiah. In verse 15, Ezekiel's wife dies, and the message of these verses is so plain that little comment is required. On the evening of the very day in which he gave to the exiles the parable of the cauldron, his wife, the desire of thine eyes, verse 16, was to die. The taking away of one so dear to him by a stroke, that is a sudden and fatal illness, was not to be marked in the usual way. There was to be no mourning, no weeping, no tears. His grief, which would be very great, was to be entirely of the heart. Sigh, but be silent, is the rendering of verse 17 in the RV margin. The normal customs of mourning were to be ignored, and his grief was to be his own, and he must pine away Without the support and sympathy of fellow mourners, he gave the parable to the people in the morning of the 10th day, and at even his wife died. The next morning, full of grief within, he went about his normal business. The exiles wanted to know the reason for this apparent lack of respect for his wife. Ezekiel was a sign to them. Just as he had done, so they would do. The siege had commenced, and the destruction of the city and sanctuary was certain. And there in Jerusalem was the sanctuary that in the Authorized Version is referred to as the excellency of your strength, but in the RV is described as the pride of your power. And the same words occur in Leviticus 26, where God predicted that rejection of his law would compel him to punish you 7 times more for your sins, and I will break the pride of your power. That time had come. When the city fell, the sanctuary in which they placed such superstitious trust was destroyed. The sanctuary provided no protection to the people of Judah, and the relatives of the exiles perished in the Holocaust brought upon them by the Babylonian army. Your sons and your daughters whom ye have left, that is left behind, shall fall by the sword. And then the exiles will be in the same position as Ezekiel, mourning the loss of relatives, the destruction of Jerusalem, and, above all, the loss of the temple, the pride of their power. There could be no public expression of desire for the rebuilding and restoration of Jerusalem, for that would be construed as treason in the state where they were exiled. Their grief must be theirs alone. They must mourn one toward another. And again, referring to Moses' prophecy, they would pine away for their iniquities. And Moses adds, in your enemies' lands. This inward mourning for Jerusalem was written in the hearts of the nation. It was theirs alone and could not be shared by the people among whom they were scattered. A private grief that would only be assuaged when Zion was resurrected from the dust. In the concluding verses of this chapter, the prophet himself is given a message from God. When the city of Jerusalem fell at the end of the long siege, then an escaped messenger from the city would bring the dreadful news. Ezekiel would then be no more dumb. We've already considered the dumbness of the prophet back in chapter 3 and noted that Ezekiel's dumbness was not an inability to speak. For even in this chapter, he has told us, I spake unto the people, but rather an inability to make the people understand the things of God. His dumbness was the result of their refusal to hear. But when all that he had foretold came to pass, he would be no longer dumb, for the fulfillment of his prophecies would demonstrate their truth, and the people would come to acknowledge that I am the Lord. And the fulfillment of this private message to Ezekiel is recorded in chapter 33.